Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just gonna try to cross the street. I'm gonna try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabot, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, it's John Sabot, and I'm back in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, walking through the markets here. This episode is going to feature the Thi Nay Market, and I think you'll notice quite a difference in atmosphere from this market compared to the Ba Chu Market in the last episode of the podcast. There's still lots of atmosphere you're going to find and you're going to be hearing in this episode, but certainly it's not as big a market. Neighborhood isn't quite as big that involves the market as the Ba Chu Market. But we're in the same district. This is Binh Tan District. And the Thi Nay Market actually has been in existence probably for over 200 years. Original name wasn't the Thi Nay Market. It's named after the canal that it's next to, but there is history of a market being in this area on the banks of the canal going back a couple of hundred years. So there's a lot of history here and heritage. Binh Tan is a real popular place for expats to live. And in the last video I uploaded on my YouTube channel, I talk about this market a little bit more, and actually you can see some scenes from this market in my last YouTube video. But we're going to take a walk through here. You're going to hear lots of stuff going on, no question about that. I'm not inside the market. We'll take a little walk through the market itself, the building itself. It's quite small compared with the Ba Chu Market, but you'll be able to notice the difference in the activity level for sure. Typically in the covered portions of the market, there's a lot of dry goods and fabrics, and hard goods are sold there. Then a lot of the produce and fish, seafood, poultry, meat will be sold on the outside. But some markets have a wet market within them as well. I think this one has a little bit of a wet market here. I'm walking by and seeing all of the fresh fish. They sell a lot of the fish and seafood in these aluminum pans, and they try to keep a lot of them alive, a lot of the species alive that they sell here. So people do like fresh stuff. And then I'm just walking by lots of stalls of all of these amazing herbs and greens that I couldn't even begin to explain all of them. But they all go into making this cuisine of Vietnam one of the most interesting and complex in the world. It's one of my favorites. I could easily just live on Vietnamese food the rest of my life if I had to. But because we're in the culinary capital of Vietnam, you have the widest variety, widest choice of food anywhere in the country. But I have seen people, particularly expats, talk about that have lived in both cities, in the both large cities, Hanoi, the capital, and Ho Chi Minh, that they found some of the quality of the food better in Hanoi. And that would be the indigenous dishes or the local dishes that you'll see here, like bún cha, which is the roast pork and noodle dish that originated in Hanoi, maybe has more tradition, more history. Maybe the flavors are different or more pronounced, but Some people have commented on that before. But for me, as a traveler and living and traveling in lots of different places around Asia, this is definitely one of the best food cities you could visit. You could explore food here for months or years and try something new almost every week. Oh boy, those are little, looks like some little quail that this lady has. There's quail and frogs that are already skinned and lots of fish. And I do apologize for all those vegans that are listening because I'm mostly vegan myself. I still eat some fish if you're a little bit disturbed by some of the things that they sell here. But there's lots of fresh fish here. They have hoses actually that pump in water to keep the water aerated so that the fish still have some oxygen. And we have some live birds. They still sell live birds in a lot of markets here, some live chickens and ducks. But you'll find that in other countries now, they don't, like in Taiwan, they don't allow any live animals to be sold at a market. So I'm walking now inside, and they have some of the stalls that are like kind of elevated or on platforms, and the vendors actually just sit cross-legged on those platforms and then serve you that way. But they have a full wet market in here, so lots of fresh meat is sold here and seafood. And then we have lots of stalls. On the right, I'm right next to the wet market, and a lot of the counters are made from stainless steel so that they can be easily cleaned and disinfected. And then on the left side of me is a lot of produce. I see some fresh noodles, bean sprouts, all kinds of stuff. But certainly a lot quieter market. So if the Bochu market, if you're going to visit one of the two markets here, which I would call like more like traditional markets, non-tourist markets, and you were a little bit intimidated by the Bochu market, this would be a good market to come and experience. But you want to come in the mornings, and I'm here, it's 11 o'clock right now, so it's a really good time to come. Lots of stuff going on in the neighborhood. And then it always gets quieter when you walk near the fabrics and clothing, which I'm at now. I'm actually walking. I was on the back side of the market. I entered from the canal, and now I'm walking to the front side of the market, and then I'm going to do a loop around, walk through a little bit of the neighborhood here. I love how some people just sell like one or two things. Like this lady here's got a whole bunch of variety of bananas, which are amazing. You have to eat all these different varieties of bananas when you come to Vietnam or anywhere in Southeast Asia for that matter, because I mean, if you're a foreigner, Westerner, and you live in a country that doesn't produce or grow bananas, you're probably just eating Cavendish bananas, the same old banana, the same old Chiquita banana that everybody else eats. And they're delicious, but you haven't really tried the real, or haven't really tasted the potential of what a really amazing banana tastes like until you try some of these local ones that really are really difficult to ship. What else am I seeing in season right now? Well, there's lots of oranges in season, tangerines, mandarins. They're able to, I don't know if it's a variety, it's very difficult to grow oranges here in Vietnam, particularly the south of the Mekong, and have them turn orange before you pick them, because it's just too hot. They need a cooler temperature to bring out the orange color. People do like orange. They feel it's good luck. So I think you'll see, you probably see lots of orange colored oranges, the orange skins, particularly coming up to Tet. And I did mention in the last episode, as I'm out of the market now, I'm walking down one of the main streets here in Bintan, which I would call it the market neighborhood. I'd mentioned about the Lunar New Year here. It's actually Year of the Buffalo in Vietnam. It's Year of the Ox everywhere else. So there's a couple of zodiac characters in the Chinese calendar that are different for Vietnam's Lunar New Year or Tet holiday than the rest of countries, including China and Taiwan, that would celebrate Lunar New Year or Lunar New Year's significant or the most important holiday. So one of which is ox. So in Vietnam, buffalo replaces ox. And in the year of the rabbit, the cat replaces the rabbit in Vietnam. So we are coming up to year of the buffalo. And actually, learning a little bit more about the term of buffalo, because it can be kind of confusing, especially if you're from North America and you're used to that, what people refer to as a buffalo. That's actually a bison. And buffalo is actually the old world name for what you would see here, the water buffalo, they call it. I think that's a westernized thing, I'm not so sure, but people call it a water buffalo to distinguish it from the North American buffalo, but actually it's just buffalo. And it's obviously an incredibly important animal to a lot of people, a livelihood, the way of life here. And so it's the year of the buffalo in Vietnam, February 12th. So it's actually, I'm surprised, actually it's still relatively busy here, but yesterday, this is Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. Yesterday was January 1st, New Year's Day, and it was a national holiday in Vietnam. So not surprised to see that. I think a lot of people have left for the weekend. It's kind of, this is a mellower Ho Chi Minh City. And I'm told, because I've never been here actually for the Tet holiday, which lasts several days, a lot of people evacuate Ho Chi Minh City for Tet. They go back to their hometowns or home villages, much like they do in Taipei for Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year. Taipei empties out for that holiday. And in Kathmandu, Nepal for Desai, which is their most important holiday, like 15 days total holiday, Kathmandu just becomes a completely different place than sort of the vibrant, chaotic place it normally is. So I'm expecting Ho Chi Minh City to be similar. So I'm now going to walk down a quieter street that will lead me back to the canal. And across from me, I see all these ladies selling little mandarin oranges or tangerines. I've got to get some of those because they just look really good and they're always really sweet. I remember having those in Taiwan and finding that they're just so delicious. So better oranges than I had anywhere in my life. So I'm looking forward to trying those. And then there's a man selling some guava and another lady selling like a mixture of little tiny mangoes and grapes. And it looks like tamarind and turnips, kind of a little variety there. And those are in those bicycle baskets that you'll see a lot of people pedal around in Vietnam selling produce. And actually, as I mentioned before, Nepal, in Nepal you'll see a lot of men with those basket bicycles selling fruit in Kathmandu. So now I'm right, this is really a fun time of year to be here because all of the decorations are put out and the Lucky Charms and all of those things, calendars that people buy for the new Lunar New Year, and I'm seeing all of these good luck wall hangings and calendars and posters and charms as well out on the streets. There's this really splash of red everywhere and then some yellow as well. And then I posted on my Patreon page a picture in front of the Le Van Tam market that I took a couple of days ago, and they have a whole bunch of flower baskets set up in a tower there, and they do a flower market there 1 week before the Tet holiday. So now we're starting to see lots of the stuff that, if it wasn't already, is now being rolled out for the Tet holiday. So this is, I can just tell you, even though it's maybe a little bit of a quieter weekend than normal, it's definitely more relaxing to walk down this market. I mean, there's not as much congestion and motorbike traffic. So there's still mostly people just on their bikes shopping, a few people walking, but a little more calm place. So this would definitely be a recommendation of a market to visit if you would feel a little bit overwhelmed or intimidated by the really extremely chaotic, busy markets like the Bachu market in the last episode. So lots of bananas in this market. I was saying like oranges, citrus are really in season right now. So there's just tons of these oranges out everywhere. And they are orange. So I think some of these varieties, maybe it's easier for them to turn orange, or they can also do a few things. They can gas them, like actually probably a lot of oranges in North America on shelves are gassed in order to make them turn orange. Or they can be put in cold storage. If they're put in cold storage long enough, they will turn orange as well. There's some people that grow lemons here. Lemons are really not used much, if any, in the local cuisine. But a lot of foreigners or foreign chefs, of course, like to have lemons for all kinds of dishes, Western dishes, any kind of dishes that they would want to create in their restaurants and that. So there's some vegetable wholesalers that contracted people I know in the Mekong River Delta to grow lemons. And then I believe they put them in cold storage after to make them turn yellow. I have to bend over because you've got these umbrellas everywhere and they're just, I cannot fit under an umbrella here. I'm 6'4". So now I'm back on the canal and I'm right at the edge of the market. And if I keep walking away from the market, I'll get to more of the neighborhood here where a lot of expats live. It's actually a very easy place to find an apartment. Might be a good spot if you were to come here for a extended stay, or if you were moving to Ho Chi Minh City, might be an option for a first place to live. Oh, they have strawberries too. Strawberries from probably from Dalat, the hill town area here. That's about an 8-hour bus ride from Ho Chi Minh City, or your 45-minute flight. Somebody was asking me, do they have an airport at Dalat? And they have one that's outside of Dalat, maybe by about a half hour by bus or car. And you can pick up a shuttle bus there for 50 or 60,000 dong, something like that. And it will take you right to your hotel if you tell them which hotel you're at. So it's really convenient if you're here for a shorter stay to visit Dalat by flying in. See lots of people just cleaning up their poultry and different things. I mean, I've seen people skinning live, well, they kill the frog and then they skin it. But you'll see stuff like that. And of course, if they have live birds here, they will kill the bird for the person that's buying it. Oh, this is just simple little display I'm looking at of dragon fruit and like Japanese style eggplant. It just looks beautiful. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to do. I'm going to walk back because I'm going to go and find some lunch here. I want to pick up some gom chai, some rice, vegetarian rice. Some of the places use the real sort of broken rice, which I find is really nice. And then some just use regular white rice, but I like the little broken pieces of rice that is the traditional, you know, kom tam or kom chai. And I find it carries a lot of flavor. It's kind of a similar texture to couscous, actually. You'll find that if you have the real broken rice. Just doing a little backtracking here, and I'm dying to get some lunch here and take it home. There was a restaurant I went to here yesterday that this is the one I'm going to today. I'm going to go back and see if they're open today. My backup I know is open, so if this one doesn't have rice or they're not open, then I'll go to my backup place that's close by. And you get like different vegetables and maybe some tofu and other things for at the one, my backup one's 15,000 dong, which is almost the cheapest as you can get. 10,000, I've actually found places in District 7 where they sell the kom chai for 10,000, But, you know, you definitely, if you can find the places that sell it for 25 or 30, you'll notice a jump in quality of ingredients or variety of ingredients. They're still okay for 15 or 20, but I've found over the last couple of years of eating lots of kong chai that the ones that are 25 to 35 are noticeably better for 50 cents. So again, lots of variety of different greens here. And what else am I seeing that's seasonal? Well, the strawberries, I'm seeing lots of strawberries. Some of those look a little on the white side, a bit too much white for me. And the lat strawberries are good. What I liked when I was there last was I bought some strawberry jam, but nobody seems to sell the lat strawberry jam in Ho Chi Minh City. I've never seen it anywhere on anybody's shelf. So I think you actually have to go there to get strawberry jam from the lat. I just go walk, hello. It is so sweet. These ladies just smile and go, come on and buy some oranges from me. I've never felt that I've been overcharged at this market for anything. I think it's a real misnomer. A lot of people feel that there's a lot more cheating than there really is in Vietnam. If they, you know, visit Vietnam, do a trip, and then they just stick with sort of the tourist path, no doubt there'll be some overcharging involved. But the other thing that what a lot of people forget is sometimes it's overcharging or just charging what they have to charge, because in these tourist markets, they're typically in a place where the rents are much higher, so they have to charge higher prices if they want to sustain themselves. Okay, where is this place? I'm looking for this kong chai place. I think I've walked by it. Yeah, I'm walking past new construction, which is everywhere here. I was looking through the listings for rental places, and I saw somebody inquiring about a two-bedroom somewhere, and they were very specific about they did not want to live in a construction zone or construction site. But it's very difficult to find places or neighborhoods where there isn't any or much construction going on. This is one of the fastest growing cities in the world. I forgot how far away this place was. At least the street I'm walking down is shaded right now. I'm gonna get all the way here and it's gonna be closed, I know it. Okay, there's a Kom Ga place, but I don't want chicken. So I came to this place I'm looking for right now yesterday and it wasn't open, so then I couldn't find actually any Kom Chai places open around, more than likely because of the holiday. But I found a place that sold the fish cake banh mi. So I had that yesterday for 20,000, and it included some iced tea. But the iced tea was like a sugar bomb, so I could only drink a couple of sips, and that was enough for me. Okay, so it looks like my kong chai place I wanted to try is closed again. Closed maybe for the whole weekend, so I'm going to go to my backup. What's also fun this time of year leading up to Tet is a lot of the manufacturers, whether they're local or international, will come up with special items for the holiday, like a special type of cookie or even a Kit Kat. Last year they had mandarin orange flavored Kit Kats here. They don't this year. So they'll bring out some special flavors or special products just for the Tet holiday. And it's always fun to check out what they have here. I was in a Co-op Mart, which is one of the big supermarket chains here, yesterday, and they have all of these young people out selling and trying to get you to buy all of these items that are special for a Tet holiday. They had Kit Kats. Nestle had a whole bunch of different products that they had, special packaging, which is really neat. And I noticed a gold label Saigon beer that I think I'm going to have to try just because the packaging looks really good. It comes in a gold box. So they have lots of things like that in the supermarkets right now. So that's always fun to walk through and see all of the special things that they have just for the Tet holiday. All right, so I'm just coming up to my rice place here. He was closed yesterday, but I walked by earlier and I noticed he was open, so I'll get some lemon chai from him. 15,000. Apartment building, and every balcony has laundry hanging out right now because the sun is shining in the direction and it's the morning, so it's a perfect time to dry your laundry. Okay, here we go. Lemon chai. Take away. Take away, yeah. So they have all kinds of stir-fried vegetables and tofu mixed with different vegetables and sauces. Some crunchy stuff, nice textures, mix of textures. They always give you some soup. Most all the places will give you a little bit of soup. Sometimes it's seaweed soup, which is great. This is some other kind of green soup. Sometimes there's a sour soup that they put in, which I really like. Okay, come on. Now I'm all set for lunch. Thanks for listening. You can support the podcast by becoming a patron. I'll leave a link in the show notes to my Patreon page. Don't forget to check that out. And then you can also support the podcast and help others discover the Far East Travels podcast by writing a review in the iTunes store. I love the reviews. I love hearing from you. John@FarEastTravels.com if you just want to send me a note, or connect with me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels. The Facebook pages are Far East Travels podcast Facebook page or Far East Travels Facebook page. Connect with me or follow me there too. Thanks for listening. When we all start traveling again, of course, I always wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.